and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, so you all can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features.
I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
And I'm Hannah Rosner. I also mostly write for television, but I also am a WGA strike captain. And that is relevant because today we're going to talk about the strike.
Strike, 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 strike.
Erica's been perfecting her chants.
Man, I hate the chants, guys.
I do too.
I do. Like, don't get me wrong, I do them like wholeheartedly.
Headspace, the app, the meditation app that I use every day, they also have like a podcast now, and I've been listening to it this week. The host has been talking about something called dialectic thinking. It's basically where you can feel two feelings or hold two emotions that may seem contradictory at the same time. And that is how I feel about the strike in so many ways, and even down to the nitty gritty of like the chanting. I love it. I hate it.
The
picketing, the honking. Oh my God. We're going to talk about the honking.
The honking is amazing. Thank you, everyone who honks.
Yes.
I also hate it.
Keep honking. It's just dysregulating my nervous system, throwing me into fight or flight constantly. But solidarity.
At this moment, we're on week 6 of the strike.
And we haven't talked about it on this podcast, which is crazy. We have picketed together twice, including yesterday, which was super fun.
I also was gone for most of May. I'd made travel plans like way back when, and they all kind of happened in May, so it took me a little while. So I feel like the relief shift, right? Like that I came
yes,
in and I'm like,
and we need
I'm
you.
Here. I have energy. And everyone's like, great. I'm taking
retired.
Some time off. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And I also was feeling super guilty because not the first week of the strike. The first week of the strike we'll also talk about because it was like just the wildest roller coaster of emotions and so, so tiring. But the week after, week 2 and 3, I was out of town and I felt so bad about it. I was like, I'm being a bad strike captain. I'm neglecting my duties. And I was just like worried that everyone was going to know that I was like on vacation relaxing instead of fighting the system. And then once I got away, I realized, oh, I absolutely need this, because the thing about labor movements or any social, you know, social justice movement is like they can have so much passion behind them, and then people burn out quickly. And you have to like keep in mind this is a marathon. Unfortunately, we might be in this for a long haul.
I felt the same way. I felt guilty. I was actually on the second part of my honeymoon that got delayed by COVID, so like should not have felt guilty. And I promise I wasn't like sitting on a beach being like, oh, I wish I were striking right now. But like there were just moments in which I felt bad, in which I checked social media or whatever, which I did as little as possible. I would post a beach picture on Instagram and I would see like Hannah, you like posting like strike pictures, and I'd be like, oh, I should be there. I should be there. But when I was texting you guys and everyone's like, basically, I think my friend Andrew put it like, there's going to be plenty of strike left when you get back. Like no need to feel guilty. You will have plenty of time to, like way more time than you want to be involved.
And also I've been back for 3 weeks now, and it feels like a year.
I know.
And we'll get into it, but it feels like there's, I wouldn't say pros and cons, because that feels, that doesn't really apply to something that's so out of our control, but more like the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is very interesting to hear your perspectives about guilt, because I have not felt guilty once.
Good.
Yay! Please don't follow that up, because I've been there every day.
I do double shifts every day,
slackers.
Twice on Sundays. When no one else is out there, I'm there. No, not at all. Yeah, I went on a trip early on in the strike. I took my mom to Hawaii for her birthday, which is something I've always wanted to do. Yeah, I didn't feel badly about it because I needed the trip as well. I was so burnt out from just, you know, the work and the grind and everything. And that's not on me. I feel like that's on the way that the system is set up to make you feel like you have to work so hard to burn you out. So it gets to a point where it's like, okay, now I really do need to take this break for my own mental health. And the same thing with the strike. The studios forced us into this position. So I'm not going to feel badly about doing what I can and not any more than I can. Because at the end of the day, it's not any of our faults. It's the fault of, well, maybe I shouldn't use the word fault, but we were pushed into this position.
Well, let's talk about like what picketing actually looks like. Because, like, I knew that picketing was walking and holding a sign, but, like, I don't know why. I just thought it would be not that somehow. I don't know. Like, I, you know, like, you show up, you get your sign, if you, you know, and you walk back and forth across a gate. Or, you know, so I think at Disney you can walk around the whole thing, which mm-hmm. is kind of cool.
Right. You can walk in a circle. Yeah. You can walk in a T-shape. You can walk back and forth. Yeah. Whatever it takes to break up the monotony.
But, like, that is what picketing is, guys. Like, legitimately, it is holding a sign and walking back and forth and just being there, just physically being there. You can, like, some people show up. They wear their headphones. They don't talk to anyone. They just go back and forth for several hours, and then they leave. Like, God bless them, you know? And then there's a lot of other people who are, like, I always try to go with someone I know. It's nice because then I know someone and we can talk and hang out. But, like, you know, but there's times I'm there by myself too. And I'm just like, here we go. And then I make friends sometimes. That's nice.
If small talk is a muscle, it has gotten the shit exercise out of it. And in a way, it's been incredibly useful because a lot of the weird social anxiety that I had about talking to strangers, that's all gone. Because, like, you are forced to talk to strangers oftentimes on these pickets if you don't do the headphones and the ear thing, which is a route that I totally support.
Yes, whatever works. But yeah, like, you have something big in common to talk about, which is you're here. Whoever the other person is, you know, whether they're WJ or not, like, they are here doing exactly what you're doing. And that's always a great jumping off point for any conversation or relationship.
And I agree. I think my social abilities have sort of been shaped by this experience. But I also feel like something that I still struggle with on a day-to-day basis is, like, this insecurity on the picket line. And that's just me. I'm just an anxious person that hides it with false confidence. But I generally, I'm like, I don't really, going to the picket line, I most of the time I will meet someone, or, like, it's easy to start a conversation or run into someone I know. And even just being alone and, like, somebody, you know, striking up a conversation is fine. I think where I get really thrown is there could be people on this picket line that, you know, I want to work with someday or work for someday. I don't know what anybody looks like. So, like, I could be picketing next to Ron Moore. I don't know what this man looks like, but he has created some of my favorite shows of all time. So, I mean, I could Google him, but then that's a slippery slope of, it feels disingenuous and inorganic to be like, oh, I'm going to study what everybody looks like and what they work on. And, you know, you don't want to be, like, slimy and try to, because that's just not, that feels squiffy in Jess terms, but I still just feel this weird sense of, like, oh my God, what if I end up talking to someone and then they tell me that they created my favorite show and I'm super embarrassed because I didn't know it was them. And, you know, not that I would say anything bad about their show, but just, like, I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing at all times.
Oh yeah. Definitely don't say anything bad about any show that's ever been made on the picket line.
Like, no, that's like a big no-no. Yeah, don't do that.
But that's something that you wouldn't necessarily think about, but, like, you know, you're surrounded by people and, you know, the person, it might be someone you're not talking to who hears it, but, like, by the way, if you're looking for Ron Moore, he has glory. Hair, like, yeah, I'm Googling maybe he's him cut right it now. But, like, I saw him on a panel once and, like,
oh, that's right, I do know what he looks like.
Beautiful hair.
He does have, like, beautiful hair. God, he looks like he should be, like, a badass, like, country singer or something.
Yes. And obviously we've been seeing all kinds of people on the picket line. Like, my Jason Sudeikis was at my very first picket. And I was like, that's Jason Sudeikis. And they're like, yeah, he's here every day. So mm-hmm. God bless
I've
Jason
seen him
Sudeikis.
Too. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's take a step back and just talk about, like, the picketing survival guide. Like, what are the basics? Like, how do we get through this? What do we need to know?
Just put it perfectly with stamina. And building up your stamina and preserving your energy so that, like, that is, like, step one is get enough sleep and just get enough rest and take care of yourself enough so that when you are on the picket line, you're showing up as your best self and not totally drained.
Completely. Yes. Also, invest in good shoe wear if you can. Protect yes. your feet. Really protect your feet.
The concrete is unforgiving.
It really is. And you're not, I mean, you can kind of stop and take breaks, but they really encourage you not to loiter because then, I don't know, you're somehow breaking strike rules or something. I'm not entirely sure what that's about.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense that if it was, like, you need to be moving in order to legally execute a picket. You know, you, like, otherwise, if enough people are sitting, it might change the definition of what you're doing.
I will say a sit-in sounds very ideal.
Oh, right? Yeah. Great. Yeah. How about, can we lay down while we pick it? We are withholding our labor.
Yeah, just like tape the signs to our backs and be like, here we go.
Sorry, guys, this is a random aside, but there was like a big downtown LA rally a couple weeks ago for like all the labor unions, and I went to it. And in the middle of it, there was a guy giving chair massages for free. And I was like, man, I would feel so weird and not relaxed getting a massage in front of all these other people. But man, I want so badly to get this chair massage.
Oh, I feel you. But yeah, it's like my nightmare is everyone staring at me while I'm enjoying something.
And people were yelling. There was a lot of yelling and a lot of chanting. But I was just like, oh man, I really would love a free chair massage. Like, thank you, sir. You are doing a service.
Beyond massages, here's some things that they have when you get there. Like, so you go, you find parking. And I will say that like the guild has been very helpful about providing parking information. Like there's, there's a link that's like, here is the address of the check-in point and here's the parking that's nearest that. Here's the free parking. Here's the like, you know, expensive parking, not expensive, but like parking you have to pay money for, like at a lot or something like that. So they provide all that info. You go to check-in, you swipe your WGA card, or if you're non-WGA, you sign in. They have a bunch of snacks and water and stuff like that, which the water especially is really, really important, especially as we go into the summer, guys. Got to hydrate.
And also the WGA will not be providing bottled water anymore, I believe, or they'll be providing like big jugs so you can refill your own container.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, that is good, because I was starting to feel really bad about the carbon footprint of
many plastic water bottles.
So many water bottles.
So the water will be provided, but from now on, you guys need to bring your own canteens or whatever.
So like something I didn't know, I just assumed there was like a place to toss your stuff, you know, when you got there. So like the first picket I went on, I like brought my purse, and like I don't have an enormous purse or anything, like it wasn't a huge deal, but like I did manage to like tuck it away somewhere, but there's not really a spot for that. So like wear a backpack or like a small shoulder bag or something like that you can have your stuff in, that won't like weigh you down and be awkward while you're holding a sign with one hand, you know?
Yeah, I highly recommend a fanny pack.
Yes, I love my fanny pack. Yeah.
I don't have one.
I totally am with you, Jess. Let me break down what's in my fanny pack, okay?
It's like
my phone, obviously, in my wallet, a pair of headphones, a pair of earplugs, because sometimes, it gets really loud. And if you are walking by yourself, like there's people around but not friends, it just, because of all the honking, it save your ears and your sanity. A mini packet of sunscreen. I feel like that's everything. I have like a backpack too with like my water bottle in it, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so something that I have quickly figured out that I would bring is a bunch of ones, like because people sponsor food and coffee trucks. It's really nice of them. But if they accept tips. So yes, I would say bring some $1 bills for, you know, when you get that free latte, which has just made my year, the amount of free lattes people have donated to me to Strike. I can tip them, you know, so that's something I bring.
But wait, I just remembered, Erica, you kind of gave me an idea, which is, should we start a coat check?
Like, oh my God, the WGA
strike
coat check.
Did you bring your purse? Did you bring your own strike sign that you made, but now you're going to go get lunch with somebody at Big Bob's Big Boy and you don't want to bring your strike sign?
Use the UFDB coat check.
That's right.
We work off tips.
We need to make money somehow. Sunny.
Oh, I have basically all the same things that you guys have, but I did have one additional item, which I think hasn't been useful so far because of the June gloom weather. But I think as we head into July and August might be very useful. I bought a little handheld fan.
Nice.
Yeah.
That has a misting option.
Ooh.
You're a genius. Okay. Jess, I love you. You're a genius.
Thank That's you. Amazing. Okay. Well, so I'm making my shopping list here. Fanny pack and mini misting fan.
I just bought a cute new fanny pack last night. I also want to talk about the fashion for a second.
Yes.
And fashion is a generous word because, you know, I mean, my house, my like last year of unemployment, just, you know, writing in my own home office has meant that my fashion sense has really degraded. All I wear is like athletic clothes so that I don't have to change when it's time to work out at the end of the day. But this week I've been wearing like tights because you're walking a lot, but like I've got a pair of tights that have pockets in them, and then it's always some version of like a Strike shirt. But that is all to say that if you feel like wearing something more fun, you don't have to wear a Strike shirt. Like, again, break up the monotony. You do you. If you want to wear like some glittery sequins or something before it gets too hot, go for it. Just again, footwear, as long as you have comfortable footwear.
Yeah, this is your moment. It's been a little muggy though, right? Like I always come with my sweater and I immediately take it off.
Well, that again goes to where you picket. So we could talk about picket locations a little bit, but as a general rule, if you're picketing on the west side at like Sony, Amazon, or Fox, it's going to be cooler, slightly cooler because you're closer to the beach. But if you're at one of the valley lots where I've mostly been, Universal, WB, Disney, and CBS Radford, am I forgetting any in the valley? It's hotter. It's just, it's the valley.
It's gonna get real bad.
And it's going to get hot because, right, it's been June gloom.
So, baseball caps, some sort of hat, right?
Yes.
Yes. I think people are recommending those like, are they called Hoka, the shoes?
Love Hokas. I have two pairs.
Okay. I have my fancy like New Balance sneakers and that's been seeing me through. But yeah, Hokas. I see them everywhere.
Yeah. I sort of alternate between Hokas and my Allbirds. My very, not my like casual Allbirds, but the massive boat shoe Allbirds that are very, nice. Very cushiony.
I think we're all going to be in those like nurse orthopedic shoes by the end.
Oh yeah, like, absolutely.
I mean, I got like insoles, like I invested in some insoles before the last time I went to set because I was always running around on a concrete floor and like it was horrible for my hips and my knees and stuff. So those have definitely come in handy this past few weeks. So much walking. Oh my God, I forgot to tell you guys. I got an e-bike. I've been wanting to get an electric bike for years. Yeah, like as nice. A just, it'd be fun and a little splurge. But this summer I finally was like, I'm going to pull the trigger because again, going back to the parking, it can be hard to find parking. And then when you do park, you still have to walk pretty far sometimes to get to the check-in and then from the check-in to where you're actually picketing. So I'm really excited to have this. We'll see how it goes.
You get, you know, I park in those 2-hour free spots and then you have to go back and either go home or move your car. So that's awesome. E-bikes are great. My friend, I have another friend named Jess. She e-bikes from like Queens to Brooklyn.
That is
to get to her teaching job. And I'm like, that is really cool.
Very cool. And it's a 2-seater, so I can, you know, give someone a ride.
Oh, I'm in.
Oh, carpool.
Yeah. That was a big selling point. I was like, I need to be able to throw somebody on the back and be like, hey, fuck this lot. We're going to Radford. See you guys later.
Disney.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, my husband was like, I asked him like, would you drive me to some pickets? And he's like, totally. And then that lasted 1 week. And he's like, you know what? I'm done.
Why? You don't want to be my chauffeur? Come on.
It turns out he doesn't.
Come on, Rodney.
I checked the marriage vows. There was nothing in there about being my chauffeur. Unfortunately, I was not forward
thinking.
Time
to renew those vows. But this is all to say, you know, we're trying to make the best out of a really shitty situation. You know, we're all trying to make it fun. And I think that's also a good segue to the special pickets we can talk about in a little bit, but there's been, you know, events or there have been, yeah, like special pickets. I went to the drag and pride picket at Warner Brothers last week. It was so great. And there have been a lot of special pickets that I'm like, this is fun. But after like an hour and a half of all the honking and very loud music, I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. This is too crazy. It is a little bit like going to a music festival mixed with a mixer, but minus, you know, fun bands and minus fun and minus drugs. But there's a little bit of fun. There's fun in that you're running into people that you have worked with before or your friends or other writers or you're meeting friends. So it can be fun. Doesn't mean that we're all happy to be doing this. It just means we're making the best of it.
Yeah, it's that dichotomy you were talking about. Like, we are just, like, I can be having fun picketing with you guys while at the same time hating the fact that I have to picket at all. Like, that's just true, you know? But yeah, there's been some really cool special pickets. Like, the first one I did was the horror movie one. Like, horror fans are the best. They are the nicest people. And they go all in on, like, the costumes and stuff. And then, you know, we all did the CWWB picket. Great, great signs, great shirts, cool people to run into. A lot of like CW actors and stuff like that. You know, there's like musical ones and different alumni groups. And, you know, there's a Bill and Ted Day coming up, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm organizing a sci-fi picket on July 10th.
Yay, fun.
Yeah, that's going to be at Universal. At I believe in the morning, because by July I feel like this the it's going to start getting hot.
It's going to get real hot. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to be in Colorado.
No. Oh, sad. Well, we'll carry up like a sign with your face on it.
And yeah, I love it. Just for genre. guys, there's a Xena picket.
What?
Yes. 10 oh my God. At Universal on Wednesday, June 28th. Can we all do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I literally own a Xena dress.
Mom made a Xena costume when, I mean, you guys know what she looks like. Like, she's a total supermodel. And no, she looks better than me. That's
no,
crazy.
No, she looks exactly like you. It's crazy.
Well, she made this Xena costume in the 90s. It still holds up. It is incredible. I need to ask her to mail it to me so I can wear it for this. Well, it's a little bit. I don't know if I could wear it in front of people, but
I will be wearing a Xena thing. So
okay, amazing.
Yeah, and I have a chakram I made out of foil, so I'm in. I'm all in on Xena picket.
It's gonna be so
good. Gonna put it in the calendar. We've gotten a little off topic, but the point is that people. Oh, hilarious thing! New York does not have special pickets, and apparently David Simon was like, who is I forget if he's the president or vice president of WGA East. Someone asked him, like, how come you guys don't do special pickets like LA? And he was like, because we don't need them to get people to come out. And I was just talking, it was just like sort of like shade, but also like such respect to New York that like they don't need it. I just talked to a friend who was picketing up in New York up till like last week before he returned to LA. And he's like, different vibe, just very like serious and militant. Like, they are not fucking around in New York. But I think this is great because it works for us, you know? We have so many more places to picket. We have so many more people out here. I think they seem to really be working. And I think if we can just keep that momentum going, I'm all for it. And David Simon, if you ever run out of that militant juice, special pickets.
They could do a special The Wire picket. That would be really uplifting, right?
Yeah, super sexy.
Yeah, really fun. Yeah, they just need to use their imaginations out there in New York.
You know, you show up at your special pickets or your regular pickets and you're going to run into a lot of different people. Like, I didn't know this, but just informed me that I met the art director for Avatar because he came up to me to talk about, you know, petitioning social media companies as well as studios to stop AI. And I didn't know who that was until she told me. But like, you know, how do you guys feel when you're out on the picket line and you're seeing – you're meeting people or you're seeing people who are there as well?
It's a little overwhelming sometimes, but it's also very cool. Like, I saw my showrunners at the WB lot yesterday, and so I stopped to chat with them, and they just sort of pointed out the group that they were with. They're like, oh yeah, that guy co-wrote The Avengers, that guy wrote Thor, you know. And they're just going through basically the whole Disney/Marvel universe, and all the writers of the movies and shows that I love so much are just right there talking, being normal people, carrying their picket signs, doing, you know, doing their part. And so in that way, the solidarity is amazing. And it's really, I think, useful to remember that we're all in it together. Because sometimes when I sit alone in my apartment and I'm like, oh God, doom is coming. Like, this is terrible and it's just going to end horribly. But then I go out and I march alongside my fellow writers and it feels okay. You know, like we have each other's backs.
I agree. Yeah, I think that the ultimate antidote to the existential dread and ennui of being in your apartment, trying to write, looking at Twitter instead, reading articles about the downfall of the industry that you worked your entire life to be a part of. Yeah, that part sucks, but then getting out there and being on the picket line with people and just seeing how passionate everyone is. And it's like, I think Zaslav said something like, you know, they should want to work or like go back to work, some version of, you know, being a dick. And it's like, we do love what we are doing. We love it so much that we are willing to, you know, we're willing to work hard. It's not that we don't work hard. If you don't work hard, you're not going to last in this business. You're not going to last a day. But like, we all have an incredible amount of stamina and passion for what we do. But that passion has been exploited. Something that was totally unexpected about this time of my life and my career is that I'm realizing how I'm just so far from the only person who's been basically gaslit by their employers. For their entire lives or their entire professional lives, because we have all been taken advantage of because we love what we do so much. We feel lucky to do it. We would do it for free, but we shouldn't do it for free because we make money for companies and they make money that they don't share with us. So, right?
And other people can't do what we do. That's the thing, is like everyone thinks that they can be a writer in a way that no one thinks they can be like an, you know, an engineer or something like that. Like there's just this idea that anyone can do what we do and they would do it for less. You know, like you see it on social media and like snarky comments, like I'll take that deal. Like, you know, like I'll write your shows and then take that much money. It's amazing, you know, without any real understanding of like, there's been a lot of really great articles. So I won't, you know, reiterate too much, but about how like writer pay looks so good until you look at the reality of it, right? Like the number is shiny until you realize there's no guarantee that that number is coming back anytime soon, and that the amount of free work you will do just chips away at that number until you're really, you can't survive, at least, you know, especially not in Los Angeles where housing prices are through the roof. So like, it drives me crazy when people throw numbers out there like, oh, well, writers make this much a week. I'm like, hang on a second. Like,
yeah, that's 10 weeks. That might be 10 weeks out of the entire year. Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel, you know, my feet hurt on the picket line, but I do feel better mental health wise because, yeah, I sit and I write or I try to write and I think about how I'm pretty sure, and you guys can disagree, that this is going to be the rest of the year. Like, this is a write-off of a year, a half a year in my career that I don't feel like I have to spare. No one has to spare it, right? Like, it's so hard to have a career here. Like, none of us want this, but like, there's something about there's no other choice that could have been made. This is absolutely the right thing to do. But like, you know, I think at my most cynical, I'm like, we had to do it, but I don't know what deal we'll end up with, but we still have to do this.
And I do think, I think an unintended positive consequence, I guess, for someone that, you know, is generally pretty pragmatic and can be very curmudgeonly, I think I do also have like a deep sense of optimism that comes out of a sense of it's out of necessity and like it's a survival tactic or a coping mechanism, I think, because I always try to look for, okay, so what's the positive aspect of this? And so for me, just to be totally candid, the strike has provided a bit of a reprieve from the career, from the aspects of my career that I just don't really enjoy very much. Like, I take joy in them sometimes, but overall, I really just want to write and be left alone. I don't really want to do
the
general
writer
meetings.
Mantra.
I love general meetings. I can crush general meetings, but I gotta say, I'm like, man, it's nice to not spend an entire day like preparing for and then, you know, following up on like a 1 hour meeting. Instead, I can take that time to write. However, picketing has taken up so much of my time that it's hard to do both, to both picket and write. And so Erica actually told me yesterday, you said that you think of it like a picket day or a writing day.
No, I do. Like if I go picket, honestly, I don't expect anything else of myself for the rest of the day, you know, like within reason. But like, yeah, I don't expect any creativity from myself when I have, you know, been on the picket line for a shift. Like it just, I don't have it in me to do both in the same day. And like, you know, and because I don't have deadlines, I don't feel like I need to, right? Like that's kind of my self-care. And then on writing days to just be like, I don't have to pick it today.
Don't have to do everything all the time, all at once.
Despite what the movie may tell you. You know, something else that makes me feel better is the amazing solidarity that we see on those picket lines.
Yeah.
There are so many people in SAG shirts. There's so many IATSE people out there. I have not seen anyone with a DGA sign or shirt. Have you guys? But
no, I have not.
Yeah, I have seen DGA signs, DGA solidarity, like DGA, you know, standing up with. I got to say, like, and as much as I hate the honking, there is a, like, the deepest joy that I do feel when I'm striking is, or picketing, is like when a truck driver honks their horn.
Yeah.
I just get such a, I'm like,
they mean it more. I don't know how I know,
you can feel
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. And that, you know, like, and yes, the honking, like if I haven't had coffee yet, the honking's intolerable. And once I've had my coffee, I'm like, I can deal with this, you know, like I should probably drink my coffee sooner. But it's like, yeah, it's a lot of honking. And it's like, the funniest is when you're like walking back to your car and I have a sign that's mine that I take back and forth. And so I'll be like, you know, walk into my car through the neighborhood and someone will be like, honk, honk. And I'll be like, yeah. Thank you. But that's terrifying. I have friends who are either non-WGA or pre-WGA who have come and supported me / us. And like, by the way, anyone can come pick it. If you live in LA and you're wondering if you can or should join in, absolutely you should. We would be so happy to have you. If you recognize us, come say hi. Like anyone can join in, and that's really cool.
It is. It's really cool to see the solidarity. And also, as much as I love to complain about things like honking and walking long, you know, standing and things like that, I'm just so in awe of the staff of the Writers Guild and the lot coordinators, the strike captains, the people who have to sift through like hundreds of emails asking questions that they could probably just find on the answer if they ask their strike captain. It's just incredible how hard they're working and how much they're putting into it.
Who are the coolest people you've seen while picketing? Because I have a funny story. And you guys were actually there for – well, no, Jesse, you were there for this. But like – so yesterday I got to meet one of my favorite actresses, who's Amy Acker, who is like incredible on Angel, and she's been in all kinds of things. She's amazing. But here's the weird part is the night before that picket, before I had even decided to go to the CWWB picket, I was sitting there and reading a book. And for some reason I thought about this scene from the Angel finale in which she just like – kicks ass and is awesome. It's like a death scene of a major character and she just acts her butt off. And I just like rewatched that scene. It's the first like scene I've watched from like anything Joss Whedon-y since the whole reveal that he sucks. And I just did it, right? And then the next day I met her.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That is pretty crazy.
Fun. It was fun. Yeah. I remember because we were with another friend of ours, Liz Ellis. Listener of the show.
And shout out Liz, fellow strike captain.
And when we passed by that actress, Liz, she just had a little bit like a starstruck reaction and we just kept passing her in the loop. I was like, you want to go see her? You want to go talk to her? And she's like, no, I can't. And then
she finally did.
And then she finally did. And you could just see the happiness on both their faces.
Yeah. She was so nice. So she lovely. Very, she was like, walk nice. With me. And like, she picketed with us.
She also hasn't aged a day. Like,
no,
what the heck?
She's crazy.
She looks the same.
She's gorgeous. So that's my coolest like encounter, I would say. But seeing Jason Sudeikis was amazing. I saw Patrick Wilson. He like glows in real life. It's crazy. And Alfred Molina also came and picketed.
Oh, yeah, I saw him. Doc Ock.
Doc Ock, yeah.
I mean, I saw Noah Wiley from ER. Yeah, he's been around. Obviously, Jason Sudeikis. Our friend Liz saw Flava Flav when he dropped by with some
amazing
pizzas once.
Oh, my friend Andrew saw Imagine Dragons perform their set.
It would be great if we had more stuff like that, like more musicians coming out and like playing little sets. That would be so fun and so cool.
Yes. Hey, musicians, please come play for us.
Yeah. We need some DJs, like, some star celebrity sightings, just like setting up shop, doing a little set. That would be cool. I can't really think of anyone you guys haven't already mentioned that I saw that I was like, oh my God, it's you.
Oh, Bill Burr was at Netflix once. I saw him.
Yeah, I don't think I've had any other than, you know, UFDP sightings.
we're the real celebrities, obviously.
Seeing Jest east of La Cienega is pretty big deal. So.
I know. We had surprise Jess. Like, Hannah and I were planning to link up, and I'm like, but there's Jess.
Yep, there I was. Happy to see both of you.
Mm-hmm. I've spoken to a couple showrunners that I've worked for over the years. I walked with Julie Plec yesterday. Also one of the coolest people.
There was a bunch of like CWWB actors at that one. And a lot, you know, like there were people from like original Roswell and stuff like that who I didn't necessarily recognize, but like people were very happy. And they played the Dawson's Creek theme song.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was great.
I will say yesterday definitely had like some of the best, you know, good looking people just because it was a CW classic
picket.
WB picket and none of those people age. So
I know. I saw Chris Gorham, who I feel like I'm the only person who knows who he is, but he's been like a CWWB person since like the early 90s and he has not aged. It's crazy. You want to end on like talking to non-industry people about the strike?
I was actually texting with my dad this morning. There was a Vulture article that kind of breaks down sort of just how the studios bungled, you know, the entire business by switching to a streaming model and getting rid of cable, which has been profitable for decades. And, you know, from like the, giving my dad, I guess, the economic context of the strike, he's been really interested in this whole thing, not just because I'm a part of it, because he's interested in economics and stuff. And not all parents understand, or like non-industry folks understand what's going on. Like even my aunt, I was talking to her when I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago about the strike, and she just seems, everyone I think outside of the industry, they sort of are like, can't wrap their heads around like, how could this happen? And I think what's important to convey is like, it's out of our control. So much of these are decisions being made by a handful of really, really wealthy people that are really far removed from the creative process. And so, yeah, there's just like, what can you do other than hold on, put all your limbs inside the moving vehicle?
I found that when I talk to, you know, non-industry folks about it, I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but there seems to be just a general proclivity for them to side with the corporation.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it.
Really?
I really don't get it.
That's not happened.
Oh, good. Because it sucks.
No, it's horrible. And maybe I just haven't been talking to that many people. When in general, I get bemused support or non-bemused support from everyone who I talk to about it, which has been really great that I don't have anyone, you know, pressuring me to be like, why don't you just end this or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just get a job. That's my favorite. Just get a job. I'm like, do you understand that a strike is like when people have jobs, they are withholding their labor? Like, what don't you understand?
I'm married to someone who thinks that every problem can be solved by striking. So he is like so pro this.
I love that for Rodney. <I know. laughs> Quick tip. If you are talking to your parents about the strike and they just are like, what's going on? Why are you striking? The easiest way to explain it is that we are looking for profit sharing. Like that I have found to be the easiest. These corporations are making so much money, more than they ever have. And all we're asking for is to share in that because we create the content. So anyway, I was talking to my father-in-law and I was sort of bracing for him to be like, oh, get a job. Which he would never say. He's a nice man. But he was basically like, oh, that's so cool. My mom, who, you know, she passed away recently, but she was almost 100. So, you know, this would have been in like the 30s or 40s that she did this. But he said when he was growing up in Australia, his mom heard that there was going to be a rubber factory being built. And she knew that other rubber factories in other towns had like caused pollution and had given kids cancer and stuff. And so she single-handedly started a picket line and created a grassroots movement in Australia in the 40s to shut down this rubber factory and like prevent it from getting built. And he was so proud of that. And I was like, that's so great. That's exactly like what we're going for here, is like the common man standing up to an seemingly impossible to defeat adversary. And it's very inspiring.
Like, you know, the AMPTA can wait us out for a really long time. They have collected a bunch of content. You know, someone pointed out on social media that, like, the networks are kind of going against their own interests here, right? Because, like, streaming wants to crush networks, and network primetime is currently on the line, right? Like, that's what's being lost, is, like, the ability to have a fall season. And it's just crazy that they're like, you know, that these people are actually like, the real problem is each other, but they're all united on trying to crush writers who, without whom they have nothing and who don't want that much money, you know?
Right. As Chris Kaiser said, we make the only product they sell other than reality TV. But even then, writers write.
Yeah, that's a whole other
episode. Whole other thing. Yeah. Yeah. Before we wrap this up, I wanted to share a story, about my dad and leading up to the strike, because it's something that really stuck with me. Also, he's like our number one fan. Hi, Dad.
Aww.
He listens to every episode. But right before the strike vote, I was in New Orleans visiting him, and I was telling him I'm a captain. I was telling him about all these things, but I also was feeling a lot of existential dread about the sustainability of this career. And I was getting really bummed out. And I was starting to think, okay, it's been almost a year since I've worked on a show. If there's a strike, it might be a year and a half. It might be 2 years. I don't know how long it's going to be before I get paid to do what I love again. And so I started thinking, maybe, I don't know, maybe I should just like go back to grad school, try to, you know, get a loan, go to grad school. I was telling my dad this, and the look on his face was like abject horror. He was so frightened that I was going to leave. I'm going to try not to cry when I tell this story. He was so frightened that I was going to like give up. And then we went home later that day, and it was a rainy day, so we didn't really have anything to do. We were kind of about to go to a music festival later that night that was outside. So we had some spare time to kill. And he writes postcards, and he had written a bunch that he wanted me to read. So I was like, well, how about we'll do a read trade? I'll read your postcards and you read this script, the most recent script I wrote. It's a pilot. It's kind of semi-autobiographical. So we sat there and we read each other's work and we listened to music. And at the end, he put it down and he looked at me and he was like, what the hell are you talking about? You're gonna do something else. He was like, you are a writer, Hannah, and you need to do that. Like, you need to keep, you cannot give up doing that. And I haven't looked back like since that moment. I haven't once thought about doing anything else. I've just focused on picketing and focused on writing when I have the time and taking care of myself when I have the time. So this is just to say to anyone out there that is thinking about giving up because of just how dire things look and how, you know, how hard it's going to be. It's not going to be easy. But I also will say I've met a lot of people on the picket line that were part of the last strike and they were just starting in their career or they had just had one job, but they didn't know when they were going to get another one. They're in the same place that a lot of us are in now. And they've gone on to be showrunners. They've gone on to be co-EPs. They've gone on to write movies. And like, this is not the end, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And it's just a really tough time. But that's why this writing community is so important. And being out there on the line and seeing the solidarity is so important. Because that's how we're going to get through this.
Hannah, thank you so much for sharing that. That was so wonderful. Also, wow. Hannah's dad, we love you.
This episode is now dedicated to Hannah's dad.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale, and you can connect with us there or email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're on the picket line, please email us, contact us, tell us about your stories. We just want to hear from all of you. And in solidarity, this is the Untitled Female Driven Podcast.
We'll also put some strike resources in the body of the episode, like the text and stuff. We'll give you guys like where you can find picketing location info and special picket calendar. We'll put some stuff in there that we've mentioned. So okay.
All right. Bye.